I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'm Umayya Biha Mukhtar, your host on IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. Joining us today is Sister Salma Khalfan, a respected Islamic researcher, and she will enlighten us on the concept of hijab as guided by the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Sister Salma Khalfan.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you very much for being here. Sister Salma Khalfan, an Islamic researcher who is going to enlighten us about the concept of hijab according to the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei. So the first question is, did Ayatollah Khamenei talk about the situation of women and their hijab at the time of the Pahlavi rule?
Ayatollah Khamenei, His Eminence, said that there was a person in Iran, he tried to impose Western cultural norms, and that was none other than Reza Shah. He promoted this Western culture, and he wanted Iran to be Western dominated more than anything else, you know, and English colonialism based there. The first thing he wanted was to remove this national costume, or rather the national attire, that is the Islamic attire, that is the modest dress none other than the hijab. And this was all, you know, like importing the Western ideology, Western norms, Western culture. And he considered this attire of hijab as a disgrace, unfortunately. In different parts of the world, if we go and check, everybody wears their own attire, their own way, their own cultural dressing system. For example, if you go and see the Chinese, they wear their own. Nobody tells them not to wear their long kimonos or something.
Or the nuns.
Or, for example, the Eastern people, like the Pakistani people. Nobody tells them that, you know, change your attire completely. But here, because of this Western influence, Ayatollah Khamenei says people wear their own costume in different parts of the world and they're proud of their clothes. But Reza Shah's government suddenly announced that it is forbidden to wear Iranian attire, that is the Iranian hijab. Why? Because they said it was not possible to become a learned, a scholar, to be known as an educated person in that attire. Imagine. Unfortunately, this still lingers. When they see a person in that kind of uniform or attire, they feel that they are backward, unfortunately. But this is not so. So the great Iranian scholars whose work is still being taught in the people, you know, places like Europe, and their philosophy is still being taught, of course, were raised in this cultural context. How would one's clothes affect one's knowledge, Ayatollah Khamenei says. They changed the national attire of our nation. Women were not allowed to observe hijab, and they banned the women from wearing a chador, the veil. They said it's not possible for a woman to become a scholar or take part in social activities in a chador. If you go and see, if that was so, would women be so successful in this day and age?
No.
No way. And we see women are successful, right?
Definitely. And when it goes against their wants, then that's called oppression. But when it's against our wants, that's oppression.
Yeah.
So it's so hypocritical.
Very. So how did banning the chador contribute to social activities of women in Iran? You know, that's what Ayatollah Khamenei says.
Yeah, that's very important. So let's just take a quick break and pick up shortly from this.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. And we have been discussing with Sister Khalfan about what Ayatollah Khamenei said about the, you know, the situation of women and their hijab in the Pahlavi rule. And you said Sister Salma, that, you know, we weren't considered as scholars, or we're not allowed to be scholars, or, you know, educated the way we want to be, and we're not allowed to wear the hijab that we want to.
Yeah. And also that they appear to be backward. So Reza Shah wanted to make it a modern world like the Western world, you know, importing their culture.
Yeah.
So Ayatollah Khamenei here says, how did banning the chadar or the modest dress contribute to social activities of women in Iran? Neither men nor women were provided with the opportunity to increase their participation in social activities. This is what they did. Whenever somebody observed chadar at that time or the veil at that time, Reza Shah, you know, did want them to participate in any social activities, he banned them.
Yeah.
So when the Iranian women entered social activities and encouraged men to enter different arenas, they were wearing a chadar. So what is the negative effect of wearing a chadar? Ayatollah Khamenei says, how would a man or woman's clothes prevent him or her from taking part in social activities? That's insane. Reza Shah served as a pawn in the hands of the enemy. He was like a puppet for them.
Definitely.
All of a sudden, he decided to change our national attire simply because why? Western women did not wear scarves. So he thought to copy them was very ideal. That was what they imported from the West. They did not import what our nation needed.
True.
See how true it is. They did not import the proper Western knowledge that is needed here. They did not import experience. They did not import diligence of certain people there. You know, that it shows that Ayatollah Khamenei is a very broad-minded in this way. He's, you know, like admitting that their goodness is there also. But we did import them. Reza Shah did not import them. They did not import the experimentation and risk-taking from there.
Yeah.
The bravery, you know. They did not import that part of it. They did not emulate the positive characteristics. But even if they did import positive things, they accepted it uncritically.
True.
So we should be critical when accepting it also, even if we do import their knowledge, their experience, their, you know, like diligence, whatever it is, we should, you know, not do it uncritically.
Yeah.
We should weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah. And if really this was how we would become better, if we would be without the hijab, then the progress that the Iranian women and Iran at whole has had before Shah and after Shah, there's a big difference. And if really hijab was kind of something that was pushing pulling the women back, then we wouldn't have the situation right now. We wouldn't have so much, like so many women working, so many women
studying.
You know, all of this. This happened after the Inqilab. Like, I feel like we should give credit to that. But unfortunately, we still have some women who are still saying, oh, we missed the Shah. I feel like they don't remember or they don't know their history properly.
They really don't know the history properly, His evidence continues that they said that they had to accept Western knowledge simply because it came from the West. Everything that comes from the West is very, you know, like ideal and good and sophisticated.
Unfortunately.
What is this? Unfortunately, even now when people see a fashion coming along, they say because it's from there, it has to be adopted.
We even see somebody from the West, there is kind of this feeling that, oh, this person is, you know, value or higher.
Yeah.
I remember they were showing up two pictures and they were saying, who would you trust? And one was this Western person and one was a normal person. And they were like, oh, definitely that one. That one looks like a terrorist. And they were like, oh, that person has killed like so many women and has, you know, assaulted them so much.
Face value.
Yeah, it's just the face value. So then they were like, what, you know? And they say, then that one is a... like a pious guy. In fact, he's an actor. So they were so confused. But you see the irony of how they're...
Irony, really.
It's very interesting.
It's too ironic.
So before we continue, we're just going to, you know, go on a short break and we'll be back soon. So back on IRIB English Radio, where we are discussing hijab with Sister Salma Khalfan. So we were talking about what Reza Shah had done during the time of his rule and how, you know, people were thinking that hijab is what's pushing people back. But in fact, Rahbar has and Allah Khamenei has said that it's in fact what's pulling us forward.
Yes. And after the revolution, it was proved this it pulled us forward. So the Ayatollah Khamenei continues in his speeches that they said they had to accept Western dress code and Western food style and Western ways of walking and speaking just because they were Western.
Yeah.
Such an attitude is the deadliest poison to a country. Such an attitude is the deadliest poison to a country. And it is wrong to adopt such an attitude because everybody has their own identity, right?
Yeah.
Even if you go and see a person, if he copies another person, he becomes like a puppet. He doesn't have his own ideas.
Yeah. Just going with the flow.
Yeah. Exactly. So a person should be unique. A nation should be unique. And Islam is such a religion that makes the nation unique.
True.
And it has made it
and we
unique.
Can see it.
Yeah, and we can see it, alhamdulillah, in the effect of the revolution now. In reality, you know what ended up is that, as Ayatollah Khamenei states, it resulted to being truly unjust to women. All these ideas, you know, of importing the Western culture,
yeah,
style, way of life, dressing, cuisine, everything. It was really unjust to the women, whether they knew it or not. And it, you know, instead of exposing her potential, it hid her potential and it just brought her into face value. And this was indeed injustice to Muslim women. I wish they would realize that, right?
Yeah, true.
So women were truly oppressed under the evil royal so-called, you know, system.
True.
As they say. If women wanted to enter scientific areas, they had to give up their religion. They had to give up their piety. They had to give up their modest dress. They had to give up their morals. You know, because that all the modest dress talks about is haya, iffat and everything, right? So they had to keep up. And who commands this? It's the Lord's commandment, Allah's commandment. So they had to give up the piety and morals.
True.
And, you know, at the expense of these kind of things, you know, they were like really pitiful. They had to, because they wanted to pursue in scientific areas, and Reza Shah didn't allow that with the hijab. So those people who were taken to their desires and taken to their nafs, and, you know, they couldn't control their thinking power and their strong will and, you know, their potential to decipher wrong from right, they decided to adopt the ways and they pursued the scientific, but this was indeed like a big injustice to them. They didn't know what injustice they were doing to themselves. At the expense of their religion, piety, and morals, they gave up those and they went for the scientific part of it, the scientific education to pursue that.
And yet the growth wasn't like the growth.
It wasn't.
Now.
It wasn't, yes. Exactly. It was very difficult for a woman to preserve her hijab and dignity in universities. There were some out there who still, you know, wanted to challenge the rule. They were proper Muslims. But it was so difficult for them in their hijab and their, you know, preserving their dignity in universities, in educational environments, in scientific and cultural centers.
Yeah.
So at that time, even women were encouraged, but in the wrong way. Either you, like now, if you go and see France, what does it say? Hijab and scarves are banned if you want to come to school, right? But I've heard myself personally that still, if you talk to the people around it, you know, the mas'ulid, like the heads of the schools, they might come to a conclusion. Like, for example, a raincoat can be allowed.
Yeah.
These kind of things can be like a kind of substitute to hijab. So it's not completely banned and it can never be completely banned. Such things, you know, haq stands out, shining.
They're trying so hard to reduce, like, the covering. Like, I feel like if somebody sits and thinks about it, they can understand that, you know, this doesn't make sense. Why would you prevent somebody from just putting a cloth on their head? Like, it doesn't make sense logically. And unfortunately, yet they're, like, propagating it so much. And that other people are so, you know, ignorant towards it. And they feel, yeah, this is correct.
Taken by the tide, you know?
Yeah, taken by the tide. So, inshallah, that we pray, you know, that people get more
involved and understand and realize more.
And try to get knowledge of the Eastern civilization rather than the Western civilization. This civilization is a very rich civilization.
Definitely.
You know, their lifestyles, their dressing styles, their cuisine, their, you know, way of eating. And they think that they are the ones who are very, you know, like
they are those best in models. Class, the first world countries. We are like the third world countries. Like, who brought these
complex
names?
They have a complex, actually. Are we really?
Yeah.
You know, and that should not be confidence. Look at Imam Khomeini.
Yeah.
The confidence it has. He shines like a star
Definitely.
Till now, right?
Yeah. That's why they're all scared of Iran and Ayatollah Khamenei, because they feel like, why is this man not shaking? He is so firm and he's so smart.
And his politics is so, like, you know, strong.
Definitely. Inshallah. So thank you so much for your valuable time.
You're most welcome.
We hope to see you in the next episode. And dear listeners, thank you so much for listening in. And we hope to see you in the next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.